it may not pass. It's showing a lead in the polls right now, but only by a few points, and one can be pretty sure that the opposition of what I would call the prison industrial complex of California, the police chiefs and the prosecutors and the prison guards and others will be out to try to defeat it. And the idea is that there could be substantial revenues. California, as we know, is in a deep fiscal hole at the moment. The tax revenue, by one estimate, could be about $1.3 billion a year for the state and the local governments. Well, there's always been a racial aspect, or ethnic aspect, whichever way you want to put it, to the issue of marijuana. It was first introduced in the United States by Mexican immigrants early in the last century. A great deal of anti-Mexican prejudice was mixed up with descriptions of the loco weed that made people supposedly insane, and other charges that were really quite hard to believe about the way that it was depicted at the time, based really on clear discrimination against the Mexican and Hispanic population. There was the one critic at the time called marijuana, as they called it at the time. He says it affected not only Mexicans, but Negroes, prostitutes, pimps, and a criminal class of whites. And on the floor of the Texas State Senate, one senator asserted that all Mexicans are crazy, and this stuff is what makes them crazy. So it was with that idea that people became more and more upset with marijuana as supposedly different and more dangerous than other substances that have been used all through human history, because people always seek some kind of a relief from one drug or the other. In the 1930s, a man named Harry Anslinger became head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, and he was really the spearhead of the campaign to make marijuana possession a federal crime, because, as he put it, its effects on the degenerate races, not only Hispanics but blacks, and we suggested were deluded by reefer, to, quote, think they're as good as white men.
I urge you to check out Neil Pierce's latest column. It's available in newspapers across the United States. Dean Becker, DrugTruth.net.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. 300 former auto workers are suing NUMMI and Toyota in a class action alleging discrimination due to on-the-job injuries. The workers at the now-closed joint Toyota-GM California auto plant, known as NUMMI, say they were not included in severance bonuses paid by NUMMI and Toyota. Claudia Center is an attorney on the case with the Legal Aid Society Employment Law Center in San Francisco.
It's really appalling that this huge company would take the moment when people are already facing terrible hardship because they're losing their jobs. Some of these workers have been model employees for two decades. They're taking that moment to create this unfair and discriminatory severance package. And I just think it's appalling, and we certainly hope to rectify it.
UAW President Bob King says under his leadership, the union will be in the streets fighting for social justice because it's the way to do the best job taking care of UAW members. The UAW has launched a campaign for jobs, justice, and peace, partnering with the Rainbow Push Coalition. An August 28th Detroit March for Social and Economic Justice is planned. It will commemorate the 1963 Freedom Walk in Detroit when the UAW joined Dr. Martin Luther King in a march that drew 125,000 people. The UAW has also begun picketing Toyota dealerships in California and New York as part of an effort to organize Toyota's non-union U.S. operations. Jesse Russell has more on the UAW's Toyota picketing and the union's efforts to use the NUMMI plant to create new U.S. auto jobs.
The informational pickets of Toyota dealers are intended to bring attention to and drum up support for bringing Toyota workers in the United States under the United Auto Workers banner. The first pickets have started in New York and California, to put pressure on the automaker to allow labor unions at the company's manufacturing plants. A secondary goal is to continue protests of the company's closure of the NUMMI plant in Fremont, California, which has since been turned over to electric car maker Tesla Motors. Tesla is working in conjunction with Toyota to produce electric cars and will hire 1,000 employees. Tesla bought the plant after Toyota pledged to invest $50 million into the young automaker. Production of Tesla's Model S sedan will only utilize limited space in the massive plant, leaving room for Toyota to produce other vehicles at the facility. After the partnership was announced in May, Tesla CEO Elon Musk told the Silicon Valley Mercury News there is potential for up to 10,000 jobs to be created at the plant. Part of the UAW's pickets is to shine a light on the potential for returning jobs to the Fremont facility.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Free Radio has a problem. Free Radio has been evicted. The landlord where our transmitter is has told us that it has to go. So Free Radio's transmitter needs a new home. We'd like to ask you, our listeners in the Santa Cruz area, if you would consider hosting our transmitter for a while. What we need is a site on the west side, the north side, or the east side, not in the downtown area, that has a roof or a tree where we can put up our antenna. We need a dry, locked, secure space for the transmitter that we can visit for maintenance and repairs. We need access to electricity, and we need access to the internet, DSL or cable. That's what we need. Here's what we offer for our host. We'll bring an uninterruptible power supply so that the internet source and the router associated with it and our transmitter can stay on the air if the power goes off. We'll donate $50 a month for the electricity our transmitter uses, and we'll bring you up to date on what to do when the FCC shows up. So if you can host the Free Radio transmitter, give us a call, leave a message on our voicemail at 427-4523. That's 427-4523. Or you could send us an email at frsc@freakradio.org. That's frsc@freakradio.org.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
This is a president that is acting like a dictator. This is a president who is ignoring the rule of law and siding with lawbreakers over the citizens of this country and the citizens of this state while damage is being conducted every single day.
Is the Tea Party becoming the ruling party of Arizona? Is Arizona the new model for the GOP? We'll speak with journalist Ken Silverstein of Harper's. We'll also go to Utah, where Latino immigrants are under siege this week after an anonymous group distributed a list of 1,300 immigrants they say are undocumented. It includes their names, addresses, phone numbers, some social security numbers, and the due dates of women who are pregnant. The list, sent to law enforcement and the news media, demands those named be deported immediately. Then, will climate change make these heat waves longer and hotter? And we'll speak to the Indian scientist on melting Himalayan glaciers and climate change deniers.
As you say, the glaciers are not melting and everything is hunky-dory and there's no problem. These are the people who are really undermining the whole movement of this mitigation and adaptation.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. BP has again suspended a pressure test of a containment cap placed over the breached well in the Gulf of Mexico shortly after receiving government approval to proceed. Work crews began tests on Wednesday until the leak was found on one of the caps. The testing has raised hopes of plugging the gusher, but National Incident Commander Thad Allen urged caution.
It would be terrific news if we could shut in the well, but I don't think we can say that. I think it needs to be an overabundance of caution, and I don't want to get anybody's hopes up that we can shut this well in until we get the empirical pressure readings that we need to have, do a seismic survey of the seafloor, and try and understand as well as we can the condition of the wellbore and the casings.
Biologists, meanwhile, say oil has smeared hundreds of pelicans and terns on Raccoon Island, the largest seabird nesting area along the Louisiana coastline. The birds haven't been counted among the government's list of oil birds. An estimated 10,000 birds are said to nest on Raccoon Island. BP, meanwhile, has acknowledged its share of the oil spill cleanup costs could be partially offset by lower taxes. In an interview with Bloomberg News, a BP spokesperson said the company plans to deduct the amount it's spent on cleanup efforts and that it's likely to do the same for compensation payments to Gulf Coast residents. Based on its tax rate last year, BP could deduct almost $20 billion in taxes should its cleanup obligations reach $60 billion, as some have projected. The U.S. military says 8 American troops have been killed in several attacks over a 24-hour period in Afghanistan. 45 international troops have died in Afghanistan this month following the record 103 killed in June. The Iranian nuclear scientist Shahram Amiri has returned to Iran just days after surfacing in Washington following a year-long disappearance. Amiri's whereabouts had been a mystery until he appeared in the Pakistani embassy in Washington asking for assistance to return home to Iran. On Wednesday, Amiri renewed claims he was abducted by CIA and Saudi Arabian intelligence agents.
I was abducted in Medina in front of my hotel by U.S. and Saudi intelligence agents. Then I was transferred to an unknown location in Saudi Arabia. They injected anesthetic drugs into me. They took me to the U.S. on a military plane. During my stay in the first 2 months, I was subjected to heavier psychological and mental tortures by CIA interrogators.
The U.S. claims Amiri defected and provided valuable intelligence about Iran's nuclear activities before changing his mind. The Washington Post is reporting he was paid $5 million under a secret government program for Iranian defectors. A Libyan aid ship has docked in Egypt after the Israeli Navy prevented it from reaching the Gaza Strip. The ship set sail from Greece last week, carrying over 2,000 tons of aid in an attempt to break the Israeli naval blockade. But on Wednesday, 8 Israeli vessels surrounded the ship and ordered its diversion to Egypt. A leading Rwandan opposition figure has been brutally murdered, the Democratic Green Party's vice president, Andre Kwagwa Risarika, was found nearly decapitated shortly after his disappearance on Tuesday. The party's president, Frank Habineza, announced the news.
About his last meetings with some people. So we exchanged that with the police and the army. And then afterwards, when we reached here last night, this morning, we got confirmation from his sister that they found the body. So I talked to the brother, it's called Antoine Haguma, who went to the scene and actually identified the body of his brother, Kwagwa. And he found that the head was cut, almost cut off the body. It was just a small thing remaining. It is a terrible death. So afterwards, the police has now taken the body to mortuary.
The Democratic Green Party has been banned from Rwanda's upcoming elections. In a speech months before his death, Rwizarika criticized the government of the Rwandan president, Paul Kagame.
We can't continue to live like this. The Rwandan population has lived in fear since 1960, up until now. It is time now to change this life and for people to live in peace. That is what we've come to do in our political party.
The Obama administration's unveiled plans to reduce the U.S. nuclear arsenal by between 30% to 40% by 2021. The move would cut the U.S. arsenal to between 3,000 and 3,500 warheads, a target critics say remains too high. The administration's plan also calls for spending nearly $175 billion by 2030 on new weapons and facilities, as well as modernizing existing weaponry. The Washington Post is reporting the nation's major non-financial firms have reserves of some $1.8 trillion, around a quarter more than they had when the recession struck. Despite the higher earnings, most companies don't plan to increase hiring. In a survey of over 1,000 top executives by Duke University and CFO Magazine last month, nearly 60% said they don't expect to bring staffing back to pre-recession levels until 2012 or later. This despite forecasts of a 12% rise in earnings and a 9% boost in capital spending over the next year.
And that was Democracy Now! Replayed from this morning. You are tuned to Free Radio 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. I am Robert Norris, and the name of this show, 15 Minutes Late, but back at last, is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. We chat about, oh gosh, well, the usual. Poor people in Santa Cruz, crazy city officials going after them for such crimes as sleeping. And we also bring in some occasional foreign dignitaries, such as I have in the studio at the moment. The infamous, well, I'll let this woman introduce herself since I continue to forget her name, but I like to call her the Big K. She's from Brazil, and she sings, and you actually heard her back in September of last year. She's back again, this time at Peace Camp 2010. Well, perhaps we even got people listening at Peace Camp 2010 who might want to call in with reports. That's the camp in front of the government building, which is the courts and the... It's right next to the five-story county building. And there's actually the only legal place to sleep in the city, which I don't really think it is legal because it's still under the city's anti-homeless sleeping ban, but it's on county property. And so city police for the last 10 nights, now going into the 11th night, have not arrested people there. So I wish to, well, hello, Catherine. How you doing over there?
Hey, Robert. Great. Happy to be here.
And put your mouth next to that mic.
Oh, okay.
If you wish.
I will gladly do that.
Okay. Glad to see it. So, Catherine, you are a singer. You're a mom. Actually came back to deal with some domestic concerns here in the United States.
Yes.
You're a house owner in Brazil.
Well, not actually
or
any
house
longer.
Renter?
I was a house owner here, but now we sold our house to move to Brazil.
You moved to Brazil, and
now I'm just a renter.
You're a renter, but you have a home in Brazil.
I have a home in Brazil.
If you can spare change the money.
I'm homeless here.
You got to spare change the money to get back to Brazil, though.
Yeah.
That's in Rio.
In Rio de Janeiro,
Brazil. You also are a singer.
I'm a singer.
Do you have any songs you wish to sing that perhaps Camp 2010 suddenly moved you to?
There is a song that I wrote when I was here last in Santa Cruz, since I last saw you. I didn't bring any of my CD music with me, but I could sing something a cappella, I suppose.
Oh, that would be great. I mean, and I'd love to get some of your CD music. Did you give it to me before? I don't remember.
I don't think I ever gave you a copy, but you did play my music on your show when I was here last.
Well, I think I vaguely remember that, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I know you called me earlier today with a song professing your true love to me, and of course I was deeply moved by that, and scampered over to try to find you, and I finally did, and that's why I'm 15 minutes late here on the air.
Bless your heart.
Well, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for picking me up, Robert.
You want to try an a cappella thing? Or
sure, I can do that.
Okay.
You want to hear something, huh?
Okay.
Sure, I would love to sing it with my music, but I don't have it, so we'll just do without. It's kind of reminds me of sleeping at peace camp. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Every morning I wake up with you. I know this love is true. Oh boy, you've done your part. You've broken wide open my heart. Every evening I love dreaming with you. Our hearts soar with love. Oh boy, you've done your part. You've broken wide open my heart. I can't jump ahead, and I can't turn back time. But you've changed my heart, love's changed my mind. Love's found her way into my heart. It's a brand new day, a brand new start. Every day and all day long, I can't help myself, my heart sings. My heart sings love songs. You've lit a fire that burns in me. The fire burns brightly. Oh boy, you've done your part. You've broken wide open my heart. You've broken wide open my heart.
Hey.
That was actually written to my son.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
that's the first time I've ever sung it on air.
And I guess your son is also in Santa Cruz at the
moment. Yeah, but we won't go into details.
But perhaps what we can talk about is your experience in Los Angeles and Santa Barbara, where you have been living homeless.
Yes. I kind of set out on a venture to document the experience of living homeless in California so far. So far, I've been to L.A. and lived on Skid Row in the Union Rescue Mission and ate at some of the various places there. And then traveled up to Santa Barbara and checked out two of the homeless places there. Back to L.A., and here I am. Arrived here yesterday morning and was so happy to discover, as I wasn't going to be able to sleep in the shelter last night, it was going to be my first time sleeping outside, and somebody had just given me a sleeping bag two nights before when I was in Santa Barbara. And so I have this nice down sleeping bag, and I got to put it to use last night. And feeling very safe, I felt very safe sleeping there in front of the courthouse at Peace Camp.
And that is still going on tonight as we speak, I guess it's in
yes.
Today is the 15th, started on the 4th, so it's the 11th night.
And I will
up.
Be there tonight, is the plan. I'm feeling very delighted to know that I have a safe place to sleep outside, because that was my main concern. I didn't want to be roused in the middle of the night by either police or somebody that might be wanting to cause me any kind of harm. So I didn't feel safe sleeping out, and now I do. Fancy that, just in time.
And you're incredibly cheerful about the whole situation.
Oh, I'm delighted. And I have a teddy bear here.
Oh, you have a teddy bear, too.
He's got a Rasta hat, and he's got an American flag and little American flag emblems, like a little heart keychain that's made out of an American flag. And I found him when I was living on Skid Row, and his name is Roe, Skid Row.
Skid, eh?
His Skid Row.
Mr. Row, Mr.
Yeah,
Skid
I found
Row.
Him on Hollywood Boulevard at Michael Jackson's Star, which I was led to. The angels led me to that.
It's a pretty cute bear, actually.
Isn't he adorable?
This is a little teddy
bear. He's my boyfriend.
Well,
he
I
sleeps
may have
next to me. He's the only one that cuddles
are you, are
me.
Are you polyamorous
night.
With this teddy bear? Do you, you know, you connect
I
with
share
other,
him.
You share him with other with other women and men
yes.
who are in need of teddy
well,
bears.
Well, yeah. Most people have their own
Ishness,
bears, their own blankets and such. But he's my buddy traveling with. He has his own song. I bought him a song in the bathroom the other day in Santa Barbara. I sang that song in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And somebody overheard me, a woman, and she says, "Oh, I really love that song. That was beautiful." And I said, "Well, thank you." And she says, "Well, I just wrote a song too. Would you like to hear?" And I said, "I would love to." So I got real close because I was already done, and I would put my head to my ear to the stall because she was singing really soft. And she sang me this song about being homeless. And my buddy Skid Row here asked if I would please see if I could purchase that song from her so that I could record it and perform it. So I don't have it with me, and I haven't learned it yet. But
you'll be back
we
on
made
Sunday
a little contract.
To sing it, perhaps.
Yeah. I would be glad to. We made a little contract, and I told her that we would share the proceeds, and I bought it for $20 to start with, and that we have a half-and-half deal if it takes off. It's Skid's song.
Wow, that's
Skid
the name
Row's,
of the song? Or
no, it's called My Story, but I bought it for my teddy bear, Skid Row, because we do a performing act now together.
Skid also, kind of the silent partner?
Yeah, I will sing for him.
I see.
But he does sign language with me.
Oh, right.
You know? And
hey, look at that.
I carry
wish
him around like
this,
a
folks.
Baby wrapped in my Brazilian flag conga.
You see that this other imperialist American flag is also...
Yes.
Got wrapped around. I've got to watch out for that one. You know?
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Oh, this one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. A little worrisome.
Oh, is it?
Stars and Stripes.
Where did I find it?
I don't know. I mean, that's, you know.
But how about this?
That looks like another one of those American, we're here, we're going to bomb you unless you shape
up. Oh, no.
Well,
see, I'm trying to give the American flag a better image because Brazilian flags are have a wonderful reputation.
That's the green flag with the stars and the globe.
And it's like got a triangle and...
Oh, yeah. It's
an
Orden
y
Progreso or...
Ordem e Progresso. It's such a pretty flag. And
you're showing me the flag, which you draped around yourself.
Conga. It's a conga.
I mean, talk about wrapping yourself in the flag.
That's right. People celebrate with such enthusiasm the Brazilian flag, and I'm just trying to give the American flag a little better image through Skid Row, because this is where I found them, in America. I was walking around with this Brazilian flag, and I think people, and I had my... I have a green habit that I wear. So I think people thought I was from Saudi Arabia or that I was a terrorist or something.
Ah, there you go.
So that's where I started using the American flag, was to help people feel a little more comfortable with my Brazilian flag and my outfit.
Mm.
So anyway, he's an all-American boy.
Well, let me ask
you,
but
Catherine. He's homeless.
Well, he's with
you. In America.
You. Well, his home is with you, apparently.
His home is with me. But
and then he can always go back to Rio with you and rent in your Rio flat, perhaps.
Yeah, that's true. If I can keep affording it.
If you can keep... Well, probably cheaper in Rio than it is in Santa Cruz.
It's a lot cheaper
damn sure
here. But, yeah, we had a little challenge that took all our savings.
But let me ask you about your experience on Skid Row. How long were you there in Los Angeles?
I was there... See, I've been here since the 19th. Of June, and then I just arrived here in Santa Cruz yesterday morning. So the 19th until
you were pretty much for the last month in Skid Row.
Well, about 2.5 weeks, I guess. I don't have the.
You know,
we had
the mayor of Santa Cruz, Mike Rutkin, in the studio on Sunday talking about claiming that very few cities allow people to sleep on the streets, and particularly cities. He insisted that in Los Angeles, for instance. People are not really allowed to sleep in the streets because they're seriously harassed by the police. And I agree with them that people in L.A. are harassed by the police, no question about it. But I also said that it's my understanding there's a settlement down there that allows people to set up at night on the streets and sleep there. What's your experience?
You know, I don't know the laws or the details, but there are a lot of people that sleep on the streets, and they don't seem to be bothered. I was getting ready one night to sleep there. They were all lined up. It looked like a very safe place. Everybody was lined up against this wall sleeping, single file kind of. Uh-huh. And it looked like everybody was in for the night. There was no issue. So I was spending my time in the shelters. So I wasn't out at night, but I was a couple nights because I got kicked out of the shelter.
You were? Now, why did that happen? What did you do, you profligate woman? You?
I found Skid Row that night.
You were caught sleeping with Skid the Teddy Bear Row. Is that right?
I was.
This is getting a little kinky here, Catherine.
I was staying in a shelter that had four floors, and the floor that I was staying on had 168 beds in it.
All women?
All women.
Yeah.
On that side. The men. They kept the women and the men very separate, segregated
there.
Keep
down the surplus population.
Yeah. But they're right next door. And they would put us, we'd go in to eat, and as soon as we left to eat, the men were in. The families would go, and then the men would go.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get out much at night, but the way I got in trouble, I guess, was my second night there, actually. I didn't show up. I'd been registered.
You didn't sign, you didn't get a pass.
I didn't sign in. You know, curfew was 8 o'clock, and I... My angels led me down to Hollywood Boulevard that night.
That's where you found Skid Row.
Yeah, and I had no intention of going there, but it was Michael Jackson's memorial. And on his star on Hollywood Boulevard, people were leaving little mementos on the altar, taking pictures and walking away. And I thought, well, what would happen if I stayed here and just sang? I wonder if people would start to stay instead of walking away.
You were thinking of opening a new homeless camp
on
Michael
Jackson's
star.
Which is for the evening. So I started singing, and people started staying. And then more and more people started staying. And then they were like, hey, do you sing any Michael Jackson songs? And I said, no, do you? And so people were trying to remember the lyrics. I said, I'd be glad to sing along. And next thing I know, we've got people looking up lyrics on their iPods, and we're all singing together. And then two guys came with boom boxes at separate occasions, and they started playing, and we started dancing and singing together. And next thing you know, the crowd was growing bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. People couldn't get through. There was a news station that showed up right in front. There's another one, another one. There was four trucks for news station. Next thing I know, the helicopters are coming by with lights because nobody was stopping before. And I thought, all we needed was somebody to inspire us to sing and dance.
You create a scene wherever you go, is what you're saying. You know, you go to Hollywood and you try to exploit poor Michael Jackson's star, a cheap trick to sell your own CDs. Now, did you sell any CDs?
I didn't. I wasn't even trying to... I was trying to sing songs that people knew. I wasn't even singing my own songs for the most part.
Let me ask this. I mean, yes. Here you were exploiting the homeless in Skid Row by using their shelter services.
I wasn't exploiting
Wait
them.
A minute. And then you show up in Hollywood. Did you at least bring any homeless people from Skid Row with you to, shall we say, reap the fruits of the more wealthy Hollywood community?
I had no idea I was going to be there. I just ended up there.
Did
and
any
then
homeless
I didn't,
people show up in the midst of this sort of song jamboree?
I wouldn't know if they were homeless or not. I don't think people stand
no,
out as
no
being
No H
homeless.
On their chest, nothing
no
like that.
No big H's on their chest,
no. No.
But a lot of people stayed until about 4 in the morning, and then most of the people left, and I stayed there till 6 in the morning. And some people were doing a video. I could give you the information later when I find it. They were doing a video about his fans and such. And so I imagine I was on the news, and I just don't know it because I wasn't there watching. But then all these things were left on the altar, and the guys were going to come clean it up and just throw it in the garbage. So I felt a certain responsibility. So I got all the stuff gathered up, mm-hmm. other than the flowers that were going to die, and gave them to the security guard that was there to take to his home, and we're going to get and gave him the address to get a hold of these people that are doing a thing about Michael Jackson and his since his death and his fans and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this bear was given to me because people
by the security guard?
No, by all the people that were there. They kept taking the teddy bear and dancing with me because I was dressed like a nun, and then I kept taking.
So you've gone from the flying nun to the singing nun to the to the singing.
To the
nun.
Yeah, to the singing. Well, and
dancing
then
nun,
I started
singing nun.
Revealing myself as I was dancing, and they were all going crazy. So they took the teddy bear and kept making him dance with me, and they got a little nasty at points, but we cleaned up our act real quick.
Oh,
Michael Jackson wouldn't
want
that.
Now you're getting
that.
Into my territory here.
Yeah, everybody was, like, doing crazy things with this bear and me. So he's my buddy
but
now. He's my boyfriend
The police
now.
Didn't interfere with this whole incident? Did
no,
they show
not
up?
At all.
Did they show up at all, or were they there?
No, just news stations. There was no police.
And
well, there was people making sure that the... I guess on the outside of the crowd when I got there, there was already some security making sure that things would never get out of hand.
So
you know?
you were then bounced from the shelter in L.A. because you didn't get back that night.
I didn't get back that night. Oh, they were pissed at me the next day. They said that maybe I wasn't right for the program.
No,
she
you're
was very
definitely
angry
not right
at me.
For the program, yeah.
No.
I mean, out there doing questionable behaviors,
but
dancing,
they let me,
singing,
yeah, I know,
seasoned
at nighttime.
Teddy bears. You know, I mean...
So they let me stay there. I was supposed to be able to stay there till July 3rd, but they kicked me out on July 2nd.
And did you then sleep on the streets in L.A., or did you...
Well, yeah, well, I slept in the subway, actually.
Uh-huh. And how was that?
That was difficult, because I would fall asleep, and then I'd have to get off the subway, and then I would
Oh, you
sleep.
Were on the actual subway train.
I would get... Uh-huh. Well, I was with some girlfriends, well, one was a guy, but he was dressed like a girl diva. She was a cutie.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very interesting group we had going there. I got to know a lot of black people there. There's not that many black
now,
people in Santa Cruz.
You yourself are pretty white. You look pretty pale to
I'm
me.
I'm pretty white.
You're a pale face.
Yeah, and I missed Carnival, so I stayed out of the sun this last summer in Rio. But
mm-hmm.
I met a lot of black people there and really felt right at home. On Skid Row. The night that I got out, they kicked me out on the 2nd. I couldn't get shelter because it was the 4th of July weekend. It was like the Friday, I believe. So nobody would take me in on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So it wasn't going to be till Tuesday that I would have shelter. And they kicked me out a day early with no, you know, with no reasoning that I know of. They just changed, and they changed their plan. And
not so, following orders and breaking the rules.
I guess so. They said I missed two nights. The other night that I came late, it was because I was deathly ill, and I was trying to get back to the shelter, but I was having a hard time because I was throwing up. But they didn't accept that.
Could have anticipated that, I think.
No. Yeah, but they said that was another night that I didn't show up. So the people that worked there were very unhappy campers, I have to admit. But the people that I lived with, I really enjoyed the experience. It was a very communal. I never grew up with sisters, so it was the first time I've lived with that many women. And I made a lot of friends and was sad to leave without being able to say goodbye to a lot of people because they just booted me out when everybody was already gone. But that night I came back and was dancing out in front of the place. They had some guy was playing R&B, and I just started
dancing.
You're
an inveterate dancer, aren't you?
I love dancing. Well, that's how you met me. I was dancing on the mall.
That's true. I and step you forward to correct you on some of your dance steps, as I remember.
No, you didn't. You were an admirer.
Well, to say the least.
And the next day I was here after dancing on the street. I love dancing. Everybody's calling me a mini Ellen. Ellen DeGeneres, because they were saying I should be on her show. So I love to dance.
Mm.
So maybe someday.
And help others to dance, too.
Oh, I love freeing people up to dance and sing. That's why I'm here, actually. I came here from with a plan. I had 24 hours to make a decision. Well, it's kind of a long story, but I guess you don't have any, you don't have anything else you're wanting to talk
about.
Well,
I always do, but you're here.
Okay.
We give priority.
Well,
okay,
guests. I'll tell my story.
Before you do, though, let me remind people this is Free Radio 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org, and I'm in the studio with
Catherine Aldous.
And Catherine Aldous, actually, if you want to hear her music, you can go to her website, which is
KatherineAldis.com.
And, in fact, we had you singing some songs back on September 9th of last year. So if you go to Huff, H-U-F-F, SantaCruz.org, which is where these shows are archived, and then spin your way to that September 9th, 2009 show, you can actually hear the interview that you did then and also some of the songs that you sang then.
I'm glad you have that
document. Now you have a long, hopefully fascinating story.
It's not that long necessarily. But I've always been a big admirer of Oprah Winfrey. I first saw her on television about 25 years ago. I don't know exactly when, but that's when she started her show. She was doing a show about angels, and that was the first time I saw her, and I just fell in love with her, and I thought, someday I'm going to work with that woman. So about 5 years ago, we were having some challenges financially, and I thought, well, now's the time. You know, I'm just going to write her and let her know that I have every intention of working with her someday. So I wrote her letters, but I didn't get any response. I don't know that she ever read them and had told her of my intentions. On the this June, she sent out an invitation to an unknown person to apply an audition, in a sense, for this opportunity to have your very own show, OWN, Oprah Winfrey Network, your own show, because she's got her new network going, and she's leaving the network she's with. So I had 24 hours to decide if I was going to go for this opportunity, and I thought, I can't live with myself if I don't at least try, and I thought I had a real good chance. I have a wonderful idea that I wanted to do on the show, and so I took my next 2 months of food and rent from my family and bought a ticket to fly to L.A. I was going to go to Georgia a week later, and I'd have time for the auditions there, but then I thought, if I don't go through, what's going to happen to me in Georgia? What am I going to do in Georgia? So I decided right then, 24 hours later, I was on the plane and came to L.A. went to the audition the next day, had 45 seconds to make my pitch, and I didn't get a call back, but I spent all my money to get here. So I wasn't going to be coming home right away until I meet with some success. Because I had nothing to come home to, really. I just spent the next 2 months of food and rent, essentially. So I have to make money.
You still have your place back there.
Well, it's rental. It's month by month. So we'll see if we have it next month. I think we'll make it. I just have to make more sales. I had to get my mind. See, I've been trying to focus on making money, but it's a lot of work being homeless. Because you have to plan your life around wherever you're getting food. If you don't have the money to get your own food, you have to plan your life around free food and places to sleep that are safe. And so you don't have really time to do anything else. And then they have curfews, so you can't be working at night because you have to be in at 4 or 5. That's one of the reasons I'm so grateful for Peace Camp and to know there's a place I can sleep safely.
And I want to remind people that Peace Camp and you Peace Campers, if you're listening, please do give a call and give us an update on what's happening out there at Peace Camp. That's Peace Camp 2010 in Santa Cruz at 701 Ocean Street, which is the court building down in Santa Cruz. And it's been going for 10 nights. This is the 11th night. We're getting the seal of approval from,
Catherine.
Of course. I'm trying to think of a way to describe you. Actually, on this occasion, I did remember your name. A step forward for me, for sure. And it's open. And we're not talking about luxury accommodations at all. The concrete's hard.
You bring pillows to sleep on.
You get drunks, and you get people who are loud, and you get problems at night.
It was very quiet.
But for you, it was
for me,
quiet.
Yes. Yeah, we're very... I was greeted very nicely. I felt very welcome. In fact... Kavika, I believe is his name.
Kavika is one of the people
He said the night before he had it laid out, or earlier, but it hadn't been taken. But he had laid out a nice soft blanket with a pillow with a little granola bar.
That's almost as good on the pillow.
Yeah, better, because it's more filling. There's two granola bars in the pack. So... he provided that. He set that up for me when I arrived in the special spot on a bench so I wouldn't be sleeping on the hard concrete. What a sweetheart. And then this morning he gave me a tour of the bathrooms that were available. Because I met him downtown because I'd gotten up early.
There's also a porta potty at this spot.
I didn't see it because it was behind the huge rock where I was sleeping.
You were sleeping actually in front of the area where most people usually sleep.
He was. Right. But that's where he gave me a bed. Uh-huh. So I was appreciative of that, to sleep on a comfy pillow, blanket, to cushion the bench. So I didn't see the porta potty. So that was the only difficulty, is I woke up about 4 in the morning needing to pee, and I just didn't want to move, and I didn't know where I was going to go. So I just stayed in bed.
And held your water.
Yeah, until 6 in the morning when I ran into Kavita downtown on the mall. And then he gave me a tour of the available restrooms. And then proceeded, and I went to the shelter to have breakfast, and Gary showed up, who I met at the Peace Camp, mm-hmm. Gary and Todd, and they showed me, they told me all about how this came about, or from their perspective, about the county property, and that's the reason why we can sleep there. And then proceeded to show me the new computer room there at the shelter that I hadn't experienced last year. So I was able to email my son. That was nice.
And there's also computer access at Sub Rosa Cafe, for those who are interested.
Oh, and he told me about that, too.
Which is down at 703 Pacific. About that issue, I'm going to kind of riff off here for a moment, Catherine. There's a trial tomorrow at 1:30 in the very courthouse next to which you will be sleeping tonight. And that is a trial of Wes Modes. Wes Modes is accused of walking in a parade on New Year's Eve in 2009 without a permit, along with about, 300 to 3,000 other people. I'm not sure how many people were in that parade. I was in it. And they didn't give me a ticket. They didn't arrest me or harass me. But apparently Wes Modes is as a particular target. Wes is one of the is an activist in Santa Cruz. He's done a number of things. He's helped to start the Free School, which is a school which puts out a whole series of kind of not correspondence courses, but courses where you meet the teachers sort of elsewhere in town. They're free, and you get on a variety of subjects. He helped set up the Sub Rosa Cafe, which is this place where I mentioned to you, you get free computer access. You also can there's literature you can read. A number of the folks working there and some of the philosophy of some of the people there are anarchist philosophy, the philosophy of self-rule and the, you know, how the government is worse than the solution for a lot of the problems we have. And he also has been involved in things like the Trash Orchestra, which is a sort of a percussion group that plays a kind of a role of supporting activist activities that are under attack, like the drum circle. In Santa Cruz, we have a drum circle every Wednesday, which has been driven away from its traditional downtown spot in Santa Cruz by the police and by commercial interests and by the downtown association. And it's now playing, I guess, with some solidity and some security in a way at the right next to the Soquel Bridge every Wednesday. And there's actually a kind of a meeting place that's happening there for people. I see it happening almost every day of the week. People are gathering at that spot. It's kind of a triangular area on the levee right next to the Soquel Bridge across from CVS Drugs, or Long's, as it used to be known, if people remember that store by that name, as I often do. But Wes Mose was involved with the Trash Orchestra. He was also involved with uncovering police surveillance, illegal police surveillance of political groups. And so he's been an embarrassment to some of the more corrupt and authoritarian powers in the city, and he's now being pursued. And some may say, well, this is a very trivial ticket. This is an infraction ticket. He's being charged with walking in a parade. Maximum penalty for that is, a couple $100 probably in fine. But the problem is he's also was pursued because he was involved in helping the drum circle retain its position, traditional position at the farmer's market before it was moved to its current position. When they tried to move it, people stood their ground and said, we're going to stay here and we're not going to leave. And because the city created a law and has a law that says all the city parking lots have now become no-go zones. Unless you're parking a vehicle, you're not allowed to be in these parking lots except to walk through or to park your vehicle. In the past, people would socialize. You could sit in your car and read a book. No more. That's all illegal, thanks to Vice Mayor Coonerty's new, they call it the parking lot trespass law. I call it the parking lot panic law, because it has to do with, obviously, a heightened state of frenzy. It's actually a way of giving the police selective enforcement powers to go after people that they don't like loitering in the area, even though loitering laws have been declared unconstitutional nationwide and so can't be used in Santa Cruz for that purpose. So you have to cook up some other law to give the police the power to go after people that they don't like the looks of, even if they're not doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. Suddenly everybody who's in a parking lot, any of the 20 parking lots, public parking lots, not the private ones, in Santa Cruz downtown are illegal. Just as everybody in Santa Cruz who sleeps after 11 o'clock at night, including all the people at your protest, including you tonight, are illegal. It is illegal to sleep in Santa Cruz outside, even at the county building, after 11 o'clock at night. That's my belief. That's really? Because it's within the city. Now, it may be on county property, but it's within the city. Therefore, it's illegal, and I've seen people ticketed for that. Not recently here, because people don't usually sleep out there, and I don't usually get complaints from that area. But it certainly has happened in the past. And it's an interesting question why the police have allowed this protest to continue for the last 11 days. And I get a variety of explanations. One is that the mayor was here in the studio on Sunday debating this issue with some of us, with the actual attorney activist Ed Fry, who you probably met.
I've heard of him, but I haven't met him yet.
He's a distinguished, jovial fellow who's very concerned about public space issues, concerned about accountability in government, concerned about public health issues. Mm-hmm. And he, along with philanthropist Paul Lee, rented this porta potty that actually makes that campsite a real possibility rather than just simply a protest situation that becomes a magnet for, it becomes a real public health concern, because the city has no bathrooms at night, zero bathrooms, with one exception at the homeless service center, ironically. That bathroom, for the last 9 months, finally, after 20 years, they opened it at night. We couldn't get them to do it when there was an encampment next door in 1995, what we called the Back 40. We couldn't get them to do it when Camp Paradise was operating. We couldn't get them to do it in 2007 when we were camping at City Hall. But finally, it happened because Doug Loisel opened it up. I think Councilmember Catherine Byers mistakenly said at City Council last Tuesday that it was done by a woman named Monica, who is now heading, she says, the Homeless Services Center and executive director. But as I understand it, it was actually to this guy, Doug Loisel, who's no longer there, but introduced a whole variety of reforms that hopefully the Homeless Service Center is retaining. But there's no bathroom citywide, except Ed Fry and Paul Lee have set up this porta potty, which they're renting and cleaning and providing for homeless people in front of the county building in an attempt, of course, to really demonstrate. This porta potty can't serve the homeless population. There are 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people in Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. So the city's responsibility, which has been ducking for decades, is to provide decent public facilities. It isn't doing that. So, nonetheless, the situation at the city government building where you're going to be sleeping tonight has nightly been, and during the day too, because I believe people have been there during the day, urging people coming and going from the courthouse to be aware of the issue that sleeping is and should not be illegal in Santa Cruz for poor people. It's not that people want to sleep everywhere and anywhere, but that they want to sleep somewhere. At least that's how I see it.
Yeah, that's safe, hopefully.
Right. So that's you know, this whole riff came from the idea that, you know, I was talking about Wes Modes and his trial tomorrow, which I'm going to talk
what
a little bit more.
What time is that?
That's at 1:30. Come a little closer to the mic.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. It's at 1:30. I'm going to read what he's printed on Santa Cruz Indie Media, which you can go to by all you listeners out there at indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, IndyBay.org/Santa Cruz. There's a calendar. And one of the items on the calendar is tomorrow, Friday, July 16th, from 1:30 to 3:30. There is a court. This is the court update on Wes Modes' parade prosecution, and it is the trial of Wes Modes, People versus Wes Modes. And here's how he describes it. Let me actually go back to a prior screen and get a better grip on this. Wes Modes returns to court on Friday, July 16th at 1:30 p.m. in Department 2. That's the second door as you come through the metal detector. If you haven't been to the courtroom much, you generally have to go in right past where the sleepers are. Where you'll see Catherine snoozing away there. Not
that
sure.
Time of the day.
Who knows? Probably not. You'll probably be up by that time.
Maybe I'll be in the courthouse.
Yeah, maybe you'll be supporting Wes. There'll be a variety of people there supporting him. It's going to be at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon in Department 2 for the next phase of a high-profile infraction case claimed by supporters as harassment of Modes, a well-known anarchist activist. In the July 16th hearing for his alleged participation in a do-it-yourself New Year's parade, which I was mentioning to you, Catherine, on December 31st, 2009, defense will attempt to demonstrate a pattern of discriminatory prosecution based on Modes' political affiliation. According to supporters, the parade infraction is the latest in a series of police harassment incidents that Modes has received since outing police infiltrators in 2005. We've talked about that a little bit. I mentioned that to you. Wes is being unjustly targeted for being an outspoken critic of the Santa Cruz Police Department. He's being singled out from a crowd of community organizers, facilitators, and participants. I'm one of them. It goes completely against the community spirit of Santa Cruz celebration, said parade participant Grant Wilson, who is a part of a group called Art and Revolution, who is also not being charged. Wes Modes is the only person being charged for the crime of walking in the parade. So, you know, not only get to watch where if you sleep, but if you walk, now if you sit down, you got to be pretty knowledgeable to be able to get away with this stuff in Santa Cruz. So that's happening tomorrow at 1:30. I invite people and encourage people to come on down there. I expect I'm going to be there. There is also the legal information filed around this issue is also very interesting. There are a number of legal motions that Wes's attorney, Jonathan Gettleman, tried to make, but the judge would not give him a continuance sufficient to allow him to do it. He wanted to make what's called a Murgia motion. That's a motion that tries to show that here's an individual who's being selectively harassed. That is, he's the only one who's being charged with this rather obscure crime, A lot of other people are guilty of it, but he's being singled out and has been singled out on other occasions by police specifically because of his political views. And that's a really important charge to investigate. But apparently the police department, the city attorney, and the courts don't want that issue investigated because he's not getting the time to do it. Instead, he's going to have to go directly to trial. And I believe they're going to try to make this Murguia motion a trial. I think what they really need, of course, is to do what's called discovery before the trial. That is to say, find out, get documentation from the police department to show in more detail exactly how this, what they describe as a pattern of prosecution or persecution and harassment, has in fact worked itself out in terms of actual substantive documents. That's what the discovery phase is necessary for. You ask, I want all the documents about this particular thing and that particular thing. But you need time to get those, and he has not been given any time. Instead, he has to present what evidence he has without that discovery, or with whatever discovery he's been able to get so far. And so that's going to be interesting to listen to at 1:30 tomorrow in Department 2. Any thoughts on this, Catherine? I don't mean that.
Oh, I was just curious. He got arrested for this on
January
1st?
No, he wasn't even arrested. He was not even told about it. We learned about it months later. And, in fact, there were other individuals who supposedly also got these citations, Whitney Wild and Curtis Relaford, but they're not being tried. Their cases are kind of being held up. Just Wes
Moats.
When
did he find out?
I think he found out. I'm not sure. I think it was either February or March. I found out about it in April or May, and we confronted Mayor Rotkin with it, saying, why are you allowing the city attorney to engage in this McCarthyite kind of campaign, this campaign of political persecution? You know, I mean, it also seems to be a waste of city money. It's also very selective. There's so many other people who walked in this parade. There was no problems. And the answer may be that, here in Santa Cruz, you may not be aware of this, but some windows were broken by some people with black masks on May 1st. It came out of a sort of a celebration up and down the street from a group of celebrants that were not, that declared themselves of, I don't know if they said they were anarchists or they said they were political celebrants that were concerned about, you know, repression on the system. They didn't do anything, but a small group came out from this, broke some windows, and then disappeared. And there have been no convictions. Mm-hmm. I think one person or two people are in jail, supposedly, that may or may not be responsible for this. And so the merchants were raising hell, and groups like Take Back Santa Cruz, a bunch of right-wing, I regard them as anti-homeless bigots, who masquerade as being concerned with health and safety, or safety, because there have been some shootings and some knifings, too, between groups, some of it gang-related, some of it domestic violence. This is being used as
unlikely to be the homeless. They're just trying to get their next meal. And their
no, there's some violence among homeless people.
Yeah, sure,
you know,
yeah.
That happens. Tensions get high at different points. But, yeah, I mean, in the main, there have been no stats presented to show that the homeless are particularly involved, except the city has now cracked down with a whole new series of repressive laws. There's a new law that says if you engage in any infraction, whether it's sleeping or smoking in the wrong place, or sitting down next to a building, or walking in a parade without a permit, which thousands of people did, hundreds anyway. If you get three tickets like this and you don't attend to them, if you don't go to court and march over there, pay your fines, or do whatever you need to do, the fourth ticket can be charged as a misdemeanor, which means you can get up to a year and 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. And this was passed without a murmur of dissent from the city council on Tuesday, even though it means that it turns the sleeping ban into a misdemeanor. Previously, for the last 11 years, it's been an infraction. In other words, they can give you a ticket, they can fine you, they can require you to do community service, but they can't jail you for it. Now they can jail you beginning on August 13th.
If it's your fourth infraction.
If it's your fourth, and you haven't dealt with the other three tickets. Mm-hmm. But a lot of homeless people have tickets they don't deal with, for different reasons.
Yeah, it's probably expensive.
And the idea that you're supposed to go deal with these absurd tickets, some of which, most of which, you know, let's say you get an open container ticket, you know, not drunk in public, not harassing, not threatening, not stealing, not even using drugs, as though that were a crime worthy of any kind of consideration anyway. But just, you know, playing music in the wrong place, sitting in your car, in a parking lot, reading a book. That's illegal in Santa Cruz. in a public parking lot. You can do it in a private parking lot.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now, it's not that police are running out looking for people reading books. They are selectively deciding. They have this huge choice of laws they can now pick and choose from to go after whoever they want. And this, you know, some will say, well, the police are, you know, reasonable people. You know, they're just trying to defend the community and protect the weak and, you know, deal with real crimes. They're going to make good choices. And I'm sure in many cases they do. But you don't,
for the most part.
But you don't want to give people the power to do that in a way that says it's not really a matter of law anymore. It's a matter of the preferences of the police department and the individual officer, mm-hmm. and of the city attorney as to who to prosecute. Then you get into a situation where I think it's a dangerous, particularly when it's combined with a business imperative, where the businesses say civil liberties are now secondary to commercial interests. Of course, that's always the case worldwide, you know, unless people are able to mobilize into social movements that resist that. But, to have...
Would you say Peace Camp is one of those movements?
Peace
Camp one of those movements?
Well, I would hope it would become one of those movements, and in a certain sense it is, because they're violating the law every night. I mean, they like to say, well, you know, we've established a safe zone. And
who's violating the law?
Well, they're saying that every member of Peace Camp who's sleeping after 11 o'clock at night is violating the sleeping
ban. Now, see, I didn't look at it that way. I was told that there wasn't a law against me sleeping there. That I was safe to sleep there and the police were not going to bother me.
Well, let me put it this way. The police have not bothered anyone there for the last 11 nights.
Right.
Sorry, the last 10 nights. And
so
this is the 11th
night.
So are
we breaking the law?
In my opinion, yes, you are. In the opinion and the opinion of many of the folks at Peace Camp and perhaps of Attorney Ed Fry, perhaps you're not. So there's a difference of opinion here. So you have to sort of... You come to your own conclusion as to what you think.
Well, the police cars were driving right past me last night and didn't say boo.
No,
so.
They don't. They won't.
Okay.
Until they decide to crack down.
Then maybe I could be thrown in jail.
They'll tell you to leave.
They'll ask me to leave.
They just want to get rid of people there.
Oh, okay.
You know,
well, that's doable.
I mean, let me put it this way: I act as though I know what they're going to do. I don't know what the hell they're going to do, but that is what they've done in the past. That's the simplest thing for them to do, which is to clear people away. And I've often said to people at Peace Camp, what are you going to do on that day? Is that going to end everything? Is that just it? It goes up in smoke on that day, and everybody just sort of, you know, I've gotten word from folks, well, we'll all make up our own minds is what we're going to do, and of course people will. But in the past protests that have happened in other cities and that have happened in Santa Cruz, it's often been valuable to come to some decisions before the police show up as to what you're going to do once you're, you know, are you going to leave and get pick up and maybe move to another spot with everybody in protest? Are you going to say, no, well, let's all go to jail for this one occasion, and when we're released, we'll come back? In other words, having a plan can also be, you know, helpful situation. Hmm. So, but, you know, I
didn't know all of this, so this is good to know.
You know, so, I mean, it's this, you know, these are my thoughts as an old-time observer and sometime activist around these issues. And so, I, of course, invite callers, particularly even people in Peace Camp who may be there. In fact, I'm going to try to call some people in Peace Camp, see if I can get them to.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see,
or you can just show up with us, and we'll just see what happens when you get there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, nothing is happening in terms of police at the moment.
Yeah, no.
I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is what can happen to change the law, and what can happen to change police practices toward other homeless people elsewhere in the city. You know, that's the issue.
Yeah, and I would also like to, at some point, bring attention to I don't know how, if there's some kind of a community where the homeless shelters communicate with each other around the country, but there are some changes that need to happen, I'll tell you. Santa Cruz is the most aware of taking care of our resources and not being wasteful. But I tell you, some of these places in Los Angeles and Santa Barbara, there is absolutely no concern for being careful with the resources. Styrofoam is thrown out. It's not even used half the time. It's so wasteful. And then water, hot water, is going by the gallons to
Hello.
Waste.
Hey, we're looking for Curb Hugger Chris.
You have reached Peace Camp 2010, and you're speaking to Curb Hugger Chris.
Well, this is Free Radio Santa Cruz's most
I noticed illustrious. That on the caller ID, Free Radio Santa Cruz. What can we do for you here at Peace Camp 2010?
Well, I hope you have the radio donations that are allowing you to listen very closely to our program.
Well, we do not have a radio donation that works yet, and that's
oh,
not going to happen. But we are going to call in with their new show. It's not on now yet, right?
We are
live on the air?
We've been on the air for the last hour, and you are on the air live even as we speak.
Well, hello, Santa Cruz.
Hello, Chris.
I think you all should grab your sleeping bags and come on down. I'd like to remind everybody that we do desperately need donations of food and blankets. And please bring only prepared food, not groceries. We're not ready to really prepare to deal with groceries. And Robert, are you giving out information and stuff? Like, we got phone numbers that you can give out. Yeah,
I would encourage you to do that, Chris. Unless you want me to do it. If you got the information,
all right, let me grab a picture. Hold on, I don't actually have them memorized yet. Let's see what we got here. All right. First, we would encourage everybody to go to the website for Peace Camp 2010. It is located at peacecamp2010.blogspot.com, and there you'll find all kinds of great stuff. We have like a Twitter feed that you can sign up for if you tweet, and then we have an email, and all the stuff that I'm going to read out now is there in duplicate. Becky Johnson is doing the website and has done an absolutely fantastic job, by the way. I mean, she is a real hero here down at Peace Camp with what she's done with that site, and continues to do, because I know she's up like endless hours all night working on it, because I text message her and I'm in touch with her constantly. So just a shout out and a thanks to her. The email address for Peace Camp 2010 is scpeacecamp2010@gmail.com, and I'll say that again a little more slowly. SC as in Santa Cruz, scpeacecamp2010@gmail.com, and you can shoot us an email and tell us what you think or send us some good information. We have a telephone number that always rings here to the command center at Peace Camp, and it's a local number. It's 831-675-6096, and you can get a hold of a representative of Peace Camp 24/7, or leave a voicemail if you care to. And that's about it, Robert. Really, we got the YouTube feed and the Twitter feed up, but they can get that off the site easier than if I read it out. So. They should see the buttons or links there.
Well, that's great, Chris. And again, I'll remind the community that it's 675-6096, 675-6096. If you want to call and communicate with Peace Camp, maybe you got a radio that actually might work for them. You got some blankets. Well, you know, I mean, you got stuff that you can find from Chris what else is needed. Or you can just, you know, offer support. And I think Becky Johnson is collecting different specific people's names and organizations for support for sort of a broader record for those who are looking on to see who's being supportive. And it's SC Santa Cruz, scpeacecamp@gmail.com.
Well, I do know I just tweeted out. I've been trying to get better at sending the tweets, and we just tweeted out. Becky had sent me, and I'm not sure what it means. But we have another endorsement, and one of the things that Becky Johnson has also been doing for Peace Camp 2010 has been acting as a sort of a political liaison, I guess you would call it, where she has been reaching out to people and organizations to try to gain endorsements for what we're doing here, and been very, very successful at it. I don't have memorized the list, but it's on the site where you can see all the different folks and organizations that have endorsed us at the website, and. I guess SHOC, Robert, if that means anything to you.
Shock, that's Sacramento Homelessness Organizing Committee. And I think you actually had an African-American sleeper there, a woman from Sacramento who said she was working with Shock. And Shock has been holding its own peace camps up in Sacramento and actually doing a lawsuit.
That's awesome.
They've been doing a lawsuit, Lair versus Sacramento, where they've been challenging in court the sleeping ban up there.
Well, that's just amazing. I mean, that's totally awesome. Hey, Vamp, you know, I got a sergeant here, man. I'm going to give Vamp a chance. His 15 minutes of fame, Vamp. Would you like to say anything to the city of Santa Cruz? You're live on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah, man, we're just down here at Peace Camp 2010. You know what I mean? Come out and stop by, man. Sleep for peace. You know what I mean? It sounds funny, but it's real. Come out here and sleep for peace. You know what I mean? We have to fight for our rights. This is the way we can do it.
Well, right on, Vance. Is Chris there too? Or
yeah. Yeah, Chris is right here.
Well, let me ask you, Vance, how long have you been with the Peace Camp?
I've been here since it started.
And has it been changing? What have you noticed about it, if anything? Is it getting better, worse, the same? How are you feeling about it?
It's getting better, and we have better communications with the actual county workers and the liaisons from the county, and you know what I mean? We have good standing with them right now.
Well, I understand in the beginning few days, the county was turning on its sprinklers and wetting down the grass, giving the homeless free showers. Is that still going on?
They've been cutting back on it, but they do have to still have their time to water. But, you know what I mean? They've been cutting back on it. It's not like they're trying to get us wet with it anymore.
Okay, and what about the situation with, I hear there's, you occasionally get the occasional cranky guard who seizes the camp's peace flag and rushes into the courthouse with it to confiscate it as abandoned property, even though there's a person following them saying, wait, that's my peace flag.
Well, yeah, that incident did occur, and it was handled accordingly, with a peaceful outcome.
Excellent. Now, I also understand that the officials involved decided to tell one of your journalists who's with the camp, in fact, Curb Hugger Chris himself, that if he took pictures of it, he would be arrested. Is that still the case? Are they still assuming that they are free from any kind of accountability by photograph?
They say that we cannot be journalists inside the court area.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not taking a picture. Well, inside the court itself, in the courtroom, requires a judge's permission if there's proceedings going on. But it's never been the case that inside the corridors of the court, or let's say at the metal detector, there's never, particularly if you're documenting an officer's illegal activity, that's illegal. I mean, and I'm not saying that, if somebody tells you we're going to arrest you if you do this, it's a kind of an imposing thing to say. But I know that I've also heard that some of your members have. When told, for example, show us some ID, they said, no, we don't have to show you ID. We're political protesters. Is that true?
Yes.
So you don't just roll over for everything the guards tell you to do.
No, I mean, we're not gonna sit here and just roll over when a guard has a bad cranky day. You know what I mean? But we are gonna try. We're gonna try and deal with it in the most peaceful manner and in a proper way because we're here as a peaceful protest and we're here. We're here just to gain the right to sleep.
It's
our God-given right.
I like it. How many folks are there right now? Are you getting close to, I guess it was an 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock event, and now it's become a kind of a 24-hour event, right?
Yeah, there's people here 24 hours a day now.
And are people getting fed? I mean, how's the food situation down there?
We've been struggling a little bit with that, but we've been keeping food in everybody's mouths. But it's always good if we can get any contributions from the community to help out with that because we have to stay here with our stuff at all times or else it gets taken. So.
And Vance, were you there today during the day or did you take off?
I was here most of the day.
What did you notice about the people coming and going from the court? Were they interested, indifferent, frightened, amused? What was their reaction?
It was a mixed reaction, but at the same time, at least most of them were courteous and gave it a look and actually sat there and looked like they were interested in it.
Uh-huh.
But we had a few people stop and ask us and talk to us about what it was and... You know what I mean? I know some people, you know what I mean, telling us that we were doing good and fighting for our rights. And, you know what I mean? We're just out here trying to, you know what I mean, gain the respect of the community and support for our cause.
Now, you're a homeless guy and have been for a while?
Yes, I have.
And where were you sleeping before this peace camp came into being on July 4th?
The levee.
And that's illegal, you know?
Yes.
And were you sleeping alone? Were you sleeping in company? What was your situation?
I was by myself.
And how did you feel less or more secure down there than in the peace camp?
Less.
And how long had you been down in the levee before the peace camp had happened?
Just about 2 weeks.
Had you experienced any violence or did you find that there was you were just apprehensive about it? What was the situation there?
Just a lot of problems as far as, I mean, the Rangers and the law and stuff like that coming through. So I'm having to keep moving.
Did you get any citations from Rangers or police?
No, because usually I was able to see when they were coming, so I'd leave.
And was your property ever taken or stolen or seized?
Oh, yeah. I've lost property out there on the levee.
And is that mostly from other homeless people or other people, whoever they were, whether they're homeless or not, who knows? Or was that from police seizures or ranger seizures?
That was from city workers and ranger seizures.
Well, they were just trying to help you clean up your area, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they took your survival gear when they did?
Yeah.
What gear did you lose as a consequence of city workers' seizures?
Sleeping bag, pillow, about a week's worth of non-perishable food products, an extra blanket, two pairs of clothes.
Well, this is clearly trash material that you left strewn about, right?
No, it was in a duffel bag.
And were you present or were you gone?
I was gone.
And were you noticed? Did they put a little notice on the bag and said, we will be claiming this property in 24 hours if no one takes it?
No, it was just taken.
Did they leave a receipt that said, if you want to claim property, you can find it at the following office?
No.
Did they leave a little note saying, ha, 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 get out of town, you fuckhead?
No.
Probably not, no. Why bother when that's what you're doing anyway? Sorry, that's my view on this situation.
Yeah.
So, anything else you want to say, Vance, that might encourage people? We're talking with Vance of Peace Camp 2010 down at 701 Ocean Street, Ocean and Water Streets, in front of the county courthouse.
Just check out our cause. You know what I mean? They can check us out online. And, you know what I mean? Or stop by down here at the courthouse and see what it's all about.
Bring your sleeping bags.
Yeah, Catherine and I will be coming by later. She has a sleeping bag, and who knows?
Well, I was there last night.
If she really woos me, I may decide to sleep there with her. Who knows? So, listen,
right.
I appreciate the update, Vance. Is Chris around? I wanted to ask him
right
a question
here.
Or two.
All right. Well, so good to be live on Free Radio Santa Cruz here from Peace Camp 2010. I did have some other things I wanted to throw in there and add. We actually have... you know, that was Vamp, actually, by the way, I just wanted to say, and he's been here in the trenches, like a lot of these folks, right from the very beginning.
Is that Vance, and, you said, or?
Yeah, Vamp.
Yes.
Yeah, that's his name.
Go ahead.
And that's his nomiker, I should say, how he goes by. But so, you know, a lot of these cats, and we've been really, you know, we're getting filthy, we're getting dirty. It's almost like war down here sometimes, you know, we're living on concrete. So I felt like these folks deserved a little bit of entertainment, you know, sort of like troops in the war, you know, USO, you know, Bob Hope going all around the world and stuff. So we're going to bring in some entertainment. I think we've liaisoned with and are making arrangements with Gorilla Drive-In Theater, who's a very famous local organization that has done gorilla movies all over, you know, Robert, you know, you're aware of them playing new movies in open spaces all over Santa Cruz as a form of sort of protest to, you know, open up more uses for our open spaces. And so we've invited them to come on down here to this open space, and they'll be doing so. We don't know exactly when, but we will be, I can guarantee it'll be a Friday. So it'll be, if not this Friday, then some other Friday. That's when we want to do it. And then Saturday evening, if folks wanted to come by, we're going to have a community meal. We're going to cook it right here, and we're going to be doing that every week. We're actually going to make a tradition out of both the drive-in theater and actually all the things I'm talking about are going to happen weekly on these days. But the first one will be Saturday night. We're going to have a community meal that we're going to cook right here, and we're going to do something we call Peace Camp Soup. And actually, it's going to be in parentheses underneath Stone Soup, and we're going to tell everybody the story of Stone Soup, anybody who's never heard of the story of Stone Soup. And then we're actually going to do the thing where we're going to have Colette, who's our oldest member of the community down here. Colette is 72 years old and definitely our shaman and our wise woman and keeping all us crazy young, amped up on caffeine radicals in our place, you know, down here at Peace Camp. And she's going to drop the rock in the soup as Stone Soup is made. And then everybody's going to line up and pitch in one thing that they have, whether it be a can of peas or a ramen soup or something like that. And then we're going to take it from there, and we're going to serve Stone Soup, and then next week will be spaghetti. So we're going to do something different every week. And then on Sunday, we're going to have a meditation area set up and an arts and crafts area, so people can come on down and and get some quiet time in the meditation area, or get creative and maybe, you know, make a protest sign or something like that in the arts and crafts area. So those will be our weekend activities, and those will happen every weekend that the occupation is here.
Well, that sounds great, Chris. So again, we're thinking, oh, thank you. I mean, a Friday, a potential movie's coming up when the Gorilla Drive-In gets it together to do a showing, which it has been doing, but then they were shut down. That's Wes Modes again. He's one of the activists involved in that, and you should know, and perhaps you will be at the trial tomorrow, Chris. Wes Modes goes to trial 1:30 in Department 2, Friday, July 16th. That's tomorrow. Right at the building that you're sleeping in front of.
Right, and one of the things that actually Gary, I think it was one of my guys up here that mentioned that we got to start keeping an eye on the court dockets for these sorts of cases, and I think you'll find that Wes Moten is going to have a great deal of support in the courthouse tomorrow. You know, these people down here are not just supportive of Peace Camp, but they're supportive of everybody involved with Peace Camp. When I did this stuff at City Hall, all these guys traipsed all the way across the town, and they independently on their own made the arrangements for the security of the camp and left and came all the way across town to support me and you the other day at the city council meeting. And so I think you'll find that you'll have some support in the courtroom, and I wish my best to Wes. Wes is an icon of truth and activism and free speech in this community, and I just can't believe what they're doing to him, and we're going to support him here at Peace Camp in every possible way. And I would encourage Wes, if he can hear the sound of my voice, or if anybody can get a message to him, to stop on by Peace Camp, make himself known to us, and, mm-hmm. and we'll take him around and introduce him to people, because I think
Chris, for those who don't know, Wes Moses is going to trial on the issue of walking in a parade on December 31st, and that is again at 1:30 tomorrow in Department 2. And we are talking with Curb Hugger Chris at Peace Camp 2010. You are listening to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. As soon as we finish this call, your phone lines will be open. In fact, they're probably open now. There's an alternate number. If you've got a question for Chris and you want to put it on the air and you want to talk to him on the air, you can call in right now at 469-3119, I hope, and maybe I can hook you guys up. 469-3119, 469-3119. To talk to Curb Hugger Chris, or to have a word with our Rio star here, the singer and homeless surveiller who's going around surveilling the different camps to see just what the heck is happening, and also spreading joy and light and dancing wherever she goes, for God's sake. It's Catherine here in the studio.
Hey, Robert.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, Catherine. I hope you guys can hear me. I just tried the speakerphone. Is that working out okay?
It's working fine. Yeah, we can hear you. I wanted to ask you a question, Chris, if I could interrupt
sure.
you. And that is, I know that on Tuesday you and I spent some time at the next to the last city council meeting of the summer, which happened on the 13th of July, Tuesday afternoon. And that was your first real council meeting in some time, right?
Is that what that circus is we went to?
Well,
who was that clown in that funny Hawaiian shirt there sitting at the head of the table?
That's Mike Rotkin, the mayor, I believe you're talking
that's
about.
That's Mike? Boy, he's gotten gray hair, hasn't he, Robert?
He's,
oh, my God, he looks like Santa Claus.
Well, I don't call him Riot Act Rotkin for nothing. It has a kind of a... It tells on you, you know.
Just so the listening audience knows, I'm being sarcastic. I've been fucking with Mike not quite as long as Robert, but a decent amount of time, so...
Yeah, well, I think that they had the entire complement of city council there, the city attorney, the city manager, who, by the way, is now out. There's a new city manager in. His name is Martin Bernal. And that was the one item which I should have flagged, but I did not, for this radio audience and for you, Chris, and for others, to talk about Martin Bernal and whether he should have been appointed city manager. Probably not. Not without a real full discussion and a public input session. And that was not provided for the city manager. For sure.
Well, you know how I feel about that anyway. I think that whole position should be abolished. I think a truly elected by the people executive branch is exactly what the city needs. Not a coronated, you know, powerless honorary mayor who rides in the fire truck in the parade on Christmas, and that's fucking it. I mean, we need an executive branch that is accountable to the people, like every other city in the country has a right to expect, and who has command and control. Not just authority or influence, but command and control over these armed constabulary occupational force called the Santa Cruz Police Department that they have in the city. They need to be brought under full civilian control. That's the cornerstone of our democracy.
Well, I know you made that request actually at City Council, and in one of your speeches you spoke on a number of items. One of them was to ask for a citizen police review board with real power.
Right. I mean, I just think with 8 brand new police officers, and I'm not sure if I mentioned that part of my argument, but my argument would be extended to the fact that there's 8 brand new police officers in our town, and they don't know any of these rules. They're down there with the stupid host brochures walking around trying to figure out how many feet away from a light pole we got to be before they can ticket us. And they're making tons of mistakes, and they're making, and they're rude as shit, some of them. And the old guys like Warren that I pointed out in the city council meeting, who they so conveniently detailed to the city council meeting, and I was going to talk about him anyway because he's an abusive motherfucker. And everybody knows it. Everybody out here in the streets knows that Officer Warren is a cocksucker. He's a son of a bitch. And, you know, and all of them. And, I'm not afraid to name names because, you know, I'm tired of being under the boot heel of these guys, and I'm tired that when they get me down on the levee way all alone, they're giving us, you know, they give you shit. And anytime they corner you and they're out of sight of the public, they're giving you shit. And then they're going and talking all sweet to the, you know, to the higher-ups, and they come and they go, we don't know why there's a problem. We only cite one homeless person a night for sleeping. Yeah, well, you know, that doesn't count all the homeless people that they drive up on and whoop the siren 3 times and put the spotlight on just to rouse them out of the spot. I bet they don't write those down. Those aren't fucking contacts. Those are never written down. So, and that has happened dozens and dozens of times a night at least, man. So they're full of shit, Robert. You know it, I know it, and I just want to, I guess I'm yelling because I want the listeners to know how full of shit the city council is. And what we need to do, folks, all of you out there that are listening to my voice, and one of the goals of Peace Camp 2010 is we need to run these people out of office. Do not vote for an incumbent. I'm not even going to tell you who to vote for, but do not vote for an incumbent on the city council this coming November, and you'll get change. You get something better than what we got now anyway.
It's interesting. We'll probably get something worse, but I hear what you're saying, and I sympathize with what you're saying, too. We actually have even more reactionary people running that are currently in office, if that can be imagined. But you know, let's see what happens. But anything you said, you know, the issue of police misconduct and Officer Warren, you mentioned he was at the city council on Tuesday. You actually
how convenient was that? That was so cool, Robert.
I mean, you pointed him out as an officer that you had found personally abusive. The weakness, of course, in the argument, which is that we have to find ways of being very specific and documenting each of these abuses. And according to which, I'm going to try to get to Peace Camp 2010 some official complaint forms that people can use if they want to.
Well, we can point out and give you credit where credit's due, Robert. You guys have brought those down on a regular basis, and so that's one thing that we can, that's one activity we're proud of here at Peace Camp is having those forms available. So, and Robert, you know, before we go or say anything, I want the listeners to know how supportive Robert Norris has been of Peace Camp 2010. In fact, I don't think there'd be a Peace Camp 2010 without the kind of backbone and the kind of stamina that Robert has had in this contest. This is a contest, folks, that's lasted at least 15 years, if not more. And it's a contest of wills between an entrenched power block and... Can you hear me, Robert? Is everything all right over there?
Everything is getting better and better as we speak.
Okay. That's you guys fucking up and not me. That's all I want to know. All right, but wow, that's really loud and obnoxious, Robert.
What's that?
Can you fix whatever is making that really loud, scratchy thing?
I don't know if we have a scratchy thing here.
It does fucking up. All right.
I think it's okay. I think we're broadcasting. Listen, Chris, I want to thank you for talking with us. Is there anything else that anybody wants to say from Peace Camp before we
sign off? I don't
know.
Has anybody got anything you want to say to the greater Santa Cruz area, or Free Radio Santa Cruz? You want to talk? Yeah, somebody wants to talk to you.
Aloha, family. This is Kavika. I just want to say to my dear mama, I love you, my wife and my daughter and my son. I love y'all. Blessings. Namaste.
Thank you, Kavika.
All right. Well, live from Peace Camp 2010, I'm going to shoot it back to you, Robert. And if you feel like you want to call back in during the show, don't hesitate to do so, please. We love people. We love talking to Santa Cruz.
All right, and I will...
Hey, wait, can I have one last shout-out, though?
Sure, go ahead.
For real?
Looks like we lost him. But he can always call back, and anyone else can call back, too. 427-3772 is the call-in number here, 427-3772. Let's have a brief musical break, and I'll have a chance to attempt to seduce the guest in the studio.
some rotten news. Your heart is broken, you're all alone. Waiting for hours by the telephone. It's so empty when you're by yourself. And the picture still sits up there on the shelf. At night you look at it all and you wonder why. With every hello always ends in goodbye, so you cry like a baby. With the tears of a lady, you're the dreams of a dreamer. With a heart just like a flower that blooms through these hours. Through this pain that you endure, it will lead you to love. Lead you to love.
That was another one from the much-beloved group, Spare Change. Actually, Spare and Change at spareandchange.com. And the name of their CD is sitting pretty with Mr. Paradise. It's about 11 years old, but I like the sound of it. What do you think, Catherine? Does it meet your exact
standard?
I liked
it. Yeah,
you
liked it? I like all music.
You better get closer to the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. I forgot I'm participating in this.
You are participating. Just leaning back getting a
listening.
Massage, getting a back rub.
Just enjoying your charming
and my chatter,
company.
Yes. My serious innuendo city here. Well, I've got a couple of things I wanted to read because I've got them on the internet. I'm going to... usually I play a lot of street interviews, and I'm not going to do that so much tonight. In fact, I may not do it at all. First of all, because I'm running out of time. We have about 28 minutes left in the show. This is Bathrop's Pier's Broadsides. For those who just turned in, I'm Bathrop's Pier, or tuned in, I should say. And in the studio with me is Catherine...
Aldis.
A-L-L-D-I-S.
Aldis in heaven, too.
Aldis. Ooh. And you can believe it, folks. Got a little bit of heaven here in the studio with me. And that's
where
no lie.
Where my love that... like heaven. Where my love like heaven.
Yeah.
Lord, kiss me once more. Fill me with song. Allah, kiss me once more. That I may, that I may. Okay, go on.
And on Sunday, hopefully you're going to bring some of your songs in. And including
I'll do that. I would love to.
Including the teddy bear song that
yes.
you purchased from the poor Hollywood, homeless woman?
Not in Hollywood. It was
not on Skid Row.
It was, yeah.
In L.A.
In Santa Barbara, actually.
In Santa Barbara.
In the bathroom.
In the bathroom.
We wrote a contract and
we
everything.
We don't want to go into this too deeply. Or do we? Perhaps we do. You know,
it was very interesting. Hey, how many people purchase songs inside the women's bathroom?
Yeah.
Public women's bathroom.
Public women's
yes.
bathroom. There actually is such a thing in Santa Barbara. We got to move forward, Santa Cruz. You can catch up with Santa Barbara. There's also another area where Santa Cruz can catch up. I've mentioned that Chris and I went to City Council on Tuesday, and we were there to oversee the introduction of, I called it, three new laws against the homeless, or that have significant impacts on the homeless without any consideration about those consequences or impacts. One of them is this law that says if you get three infractions of any kind and don't deal with them, the next infraction is a misdemeanor, even if it has nothing to do with the first three, even if it's a sleeping situation where it's a life-sustaining behavior, that becomes a misdemeanor punishable by up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine. The second one is a requirement that you show ID before renting a room, which can be difficult for people who are homeless because some of them don't have ID.
Or it's been stolen.
It's been stolen from their duffel bags where they were sleeping.
Right. Or it's been confiscated by the police department, which is only open 2 days a week these days. You know. By the way, a quick announcement, too. Well, before I do that, the third law is a law coming up at a special city council session on Tuesday, which actually has a lot of opposition from realtors and has to do with a law that will set into effect a whole series of fees and fines for people who have or are renting small units throughout the city. So it's going to allow the city to inspect all these units and register all these units. If they were doing this to control the rents, I would be sort of more sympathetic. But they're just doing this essentially as a revenue increasing measure, it seems like to me, and it's probably going to discourage a number of people from continuing to rent to people because they're afraid they're going to be not going to meet standards. They won't have to pay the fees, so the rents will stop. But again, I'm not thoroughly versed on this measure. I know that it got some kind of a treatment in today's Sentinel. People can look at today's, I call it the urinal, actually, for the kind of journalism it actually provides. If you don't need a public bathroom in Santa Cruz, all you got to do is read the morning paper. And you can wet your pants right there, man. And I don't mean with enthusiasm. But in any case, that was the third law. We thought it was going to be coming up at this city council meeting, but it wasn't. It's coming up next Tuesday at a special study session, or whatever the heck, special session of city council, and that'll be happening on Tuesday. Also on Tuesday, and probably preventing me from going to that session, I will be in court facing charges. I will be in court along with Robert Blind Bear Facer, a musician who plays the drum very quietly, and you may have seen him last night at the when you were sleeping over there, Catherine. He's a tall fellow with a very kind of covered in dark green clothing, and he has a feather in his cap, and he's a very kind of very soft spoken fellow. He has a little drum with him, and he's an Amish man who, according to his account and according to the account of his attorney,
built his own canoe, and paddled down from the Sacramento area all the way to Santa Cruz through the river system and the oceans. And he got 2 sleeping tickets and was found guilty, and he's currently appealing them. But the charge that he and I are both facing on Tuesday is a charge of singing the song, "When you're alone and rents are making you homeless, you can always go downtown. When you get laid off, all the cops and their friends will move you to and fro downtown." We sang 8 verses of that in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz, which is the lair of Vice Mayor Ryan Coonerty. Now, he and his staff didn't complain. They know better than that. They can't really complain. We're within our First Amendment rights. But instead, a individual living on the 3rd floor complained we were making unreasonably disturbing noises when we sang between 2 and 3 in the afternoon on a Wednesday, when there was quite a lot of ambient street noise. And we are being taken to court, pursued by the city attorney who's taken up this private person's complaint as a basis for claiming we are violating this unnecessarily disturbing noises ordinance, which I'm going to be talking about more on Sunday. And when you sing your song, which no doubt is, we can also classify as unreasonably disturbing, because particularly if you put in some disturbing lyrics.
The homeless song?
Yeah. Okay. I want to hear that homeless song when you bring it in. That's going to be happening at 1:30 in Department 10. Now, tomorrow in Department 2, it's West Modes. Tuesday in Department 10, that's downstairs in the county building. I should say in the building right next to the county building. It's in the basement of the county building, my trial in Department 10. That's the one court that is not in the court building. The court building has Departments 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and that's the one that you're going to be, those of us are going to check out West Mode's trial. We'll be going to that one tomorrow at 1:30, Department 2. On Tuesday, if you go to the next building over, you go to the basement, and you go to Department 10, which is the Department of Commissioner Kim Basket case, or Kim Basket, as she's more politely known.
What time is
that'll
that?
That'll be at 1:30, too. 1:30 as well. So that's going to happen. Ed Fry will be defending Robert Facer. I, in my magnificent ignorance, will be defending myself. And that'll be kind of funny to watch. We'll see how that one works. And now, having made that announcement, let me also point out that Santa Cruz is passing these crappy laws, this new law that says your 4th snooze becomes a misdemeanor as of August 13th, I think it'll be, and a law you have to show your ID. That'll become a law probably about August 27th or thereabouts, assuming it passes at the next council meeting. And I don't know about this, you know, all this rental unit loss may be happening probably a bit later, but maybe not. I'm not sure when that's going to be happening, but it is coming up on Tuesday at probably a 3 o'clock or a 2 o'clock session of City Council. They're not quite, sometimes it's at 2, sometimes it's at 3. We'll have to find out. The agenda probably is out today, but I haven't seen it. But in other cities, laws, this is liberal Santa Cruz. Now, we've heard how laid back Santa Cruz is, mellow place, you know. I say, cool. I mean, we've heard you, Catherine, talk about how wasteful services in Santa Barbara and Los Angeles. But here in Santa Cruz, things look better. My response was immediately to gag a little when I heard that, because I not
as far as handling the resources,
right.
Our Mother Earth's resources,
right.
They're more respectful here in Santa Cruz.
Except for
and
the
aware
human resources that don't
human
get handled
resources
too
is
well.
Another thing.
I mean, there's zero shelter tonight for homeless people, as you probably found out when you walked over. If you tried to get a room in a shelter, there's no shelter. And did you try to do that?
Well, I was actually going to be accepted in tonight, I think, or tomorrow night, but I didn't fill out the application because
you had to get on
a
waiting list, correct?
There are waiting lists, yes.
So, in other words, it's my understanding, talking to shelter providers and listening to the testimony of people like Paul Brindell and Paul Lee, Linda Lemaster and Becky Johnson, that there's no emergency walk-in shelter tonight for anybody.
Okay,
period.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you found differently, please correct
no,
me, because I'd like to know that.
No, not emergency walk-in. I was just, there was maybe going to be a bed available, but it wasn't necessary for emergency walk-in. It just, somebody was leaving.
By emergency, I don't mean the person is dying or crippled.
Yeah.
I just mean they're without shelter. They show up on foot and they say, "I'm looking for a shelter."
Yeah.
And when the alternative in Santa Cruz is a $97 fine for a sleeping citation,
yeah,
or risking that, or risking having to hide out in the bushes somewhere, or even go to sleep in Peace Camp 2010.
Yeah.
But not knowing really what's happening, because even though the city says it's the county's jurisdiction and the county says it's fine, don't bother us, there's really been no clarity there. And it also, the facilities, while it's nice to have that kind of community and it's nice to have a porta potty nearby, it's not really a campground. It's not really a place where people can, I mean, this group is making this a real community, and it's bringing in potential movies on Friday, a community feed on Saturday, and an arts and craft fair on Sunday is what we heard from Chris.
Yeah,
but you know, it's still pretty hard scrabble sleeping over there.
Well, I have to admit, when I got introduced to the whole homeless shelter existence, it was because I didn't have a place to sleep, and I had slept in the car with somebody. I had gone to the hostel, and I had arrived too late, and they didn't have a room, and I didn't really have the money anyways, so it was fine. But the fellow there that had to say goodbye, had to reject me, he was also there, and he said that he would go out with me, and we could stay in his car. So my first night was staying in a car, very close quarters. But I didn't have to sleep on the street.
This is
and
one
I was
tough
a little,
babe, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I was a little afraid, I have to admit. I was afraid to be sleeping outside. I didn't have a sleeping bag. And I feel blessed that I didn't have to, but it helped me be aware of the issue, and I felt like so received with open arms when I did come to the shelter. Although they couldn't give me shelter, they gave me food, laundry. I found family there.
This is the Homeless Service Center.
I found a sense of family there, and I will never forget that. And now that I've stayed in other shelters, I really feel I want to create some kind of a network between the shelters, that we all have, you know, certain... There's certain rules that are to be followed in terms of how we handle Mother Earth's resources as well as the human resources.
I mean,
the human resources, people love, you know, it seems like there's a lot of yelling that goes on by the people that work in these places. Not in Santa Cruz. I haven't found
probably
that
in
so
Santa
much.
Cruz too, but
I haven't found it in my way. I've felt they've been very receptive
not.
To me. But in L.A., particularly
the thing about Santa Cruz,
a lot of
like,
hostility going at the people that are living there.
Well, it's a power trip, and I think that happens in Santa Cruz too, although maybe it's more subtle. I've certainly heard complaints from supposedly clients of those services, and it's hard to say because if you're not there when the incident happens, it's hard to tell. But we know for sure that there is completely inadequate shelter, and so in a way it's kind of a hoax. It's kind of a little a papier-mâché phenomenon. It's sort of a way of giving jobs and a cover, a whitewash cover, to a city that is, you know, putting more cops on the beat, but is not providing more services and also keeping in place repressive laws. Which brings me back to the sidewalk sitting ban that we have in Santa Cruz. We have a ban on almost all sidewalk sitting. It is true you can sit on the sidewalk if you're 14 feet from a building, 14 feet from a crosswalk, 14 feet from a bench, 14 feet from a phone, 50 feet from a change-making machine, and there's a whole bunch of other forbidden zone distances, which leaves about 5% of the sidewalk on Pacific Avenue that you're allowed to sit down on, unless you bring your own chair, strangely enough. If you bring your own chair, you can sit on most of the sidewalk. It's kind of
really.
It's kind of peculiar.
So people could bring their own chairs.
That's
and we
correct.
Can, we can
so
sit
chairs
on the
for
sidewalks?
The homeless could be the approach. Yes.
Wow,
yes.
There's an idea.
Until they've, of course, voted in a new law, and that might not be too quick, too slow in coming. But the fact is, on all other business districts in Santa Cruz, there's no sitting on the sidewalk. But it's not billed that way. It doesn't say no sitting on the sidewalk. It's the law just simply says you can't sit within 14 feet of a building, and the sidewalks happen to be 10 feet wide. So you can sit in the middle of the street, but of course then you'd be violating another law. So it's interesting. Santa Cruz, which has this reputation as this great liberal community, you know, the shelter family that comes and helps you out and all that.
Yeah.
Which is nice. I mean, and also, frankly, you are sort of the ideal person to help out. You're attractive, you're outgoing, you're congenial, you know, all these things. I mean, you know that you are. And, you know, you're sincere, and you also are, you're not, you're homeless only for the duration. You're not, you also ultimately have a place.
As long as I'm here.
You can go back to in
yeah,
Rio.
But that's, you know, expensive too.
For sure. No, for sure. But,
so,
you know.
So, as long as I'm here, yes.
So, you know, anyway, but here, I'm, here's an example. Here's an email I got today. Story by Shay Torres. Sidewalk sitting ban downgraded to move along, please. This is what Santa Cruz, of course, should have done, and if it had wanted to do any kind of sitting ban. Instead, it passed a law in 1994, the first city in California to do so, that criminalized a whole host of activities in order to remove visible homeless from the sidewalk at the discretion of merchants, police, and conservative residents. And these laws were made worse in 2002, 2003, and most recently 2009, and now again in 2010 with this new three infractions. The fourth one is a misdemeanor. However, other cities aren't doing this. The Burlington City Council, on July 12th, reviewed a revised plan to deter people from sitting on sidewalks throughout the city's inner fire district, largely the streets feeding into the Church Street Marketplace, wherever that may be. The revised plan would establish a pilot program to educate sidewalk sitters about the Americans with Disabilities Act guidelines that recommend a minimum 5-foot wide pedestrian right-of-way for all sidewalks. It's different to give a 5-foot pedestrian wide right-of-way, which is a reasonable thing to have, or to suddenly give merchants a huge 14-foot forbidden zone where people can't sit, as we have in Santa Cruz. There's a very significant difference between those two proposals. And this is also not just, not, this isn't a law, this is an education effort. The education effort would inform people about two other city ordinances which prohibit unnecessary interference and obstructing city sidewalks. Now, often when you hear my, or at least most recently when I heard Mayor Rodkin talk about this, actually a couple of city council meetings ago, he was denouncing two homeless musicians who were getting tickets for, he said, obstructing the sidewalk and all kinds of other crimes. And that was the reason they had to have a special $50,000 to $100,000 effort to establish a civil injunction to ban these two from ever sleeping in the downtown area again. They weren't violent. They didn't do drugs. They didn't steal anything. They hadn't been convicted of these crimes. But the city decided to go after them this way. This is an example of what liberal Santa Cruz was doing. One of the things Rodkin talked about was obstructing the sidewalk. I actually was ticketed once for obstructing the sidewalk. I was actually taken into handcuffs for supposedly obstructing the sidewalk. What I did was, I had a political table on a sidewalk that was 30 feet wide, and I occupied a 6-foot area on that sidewalk. Sergeant Butchie Baker, who has made a number of false arrests in his life, and actually there have been at least two successful lawsuits against him, had me arrested, taken to jail. I think I was released at the station or soon thereafter, but I was held. We sued him. The case was dragged through the courts. They dropped the charges against me finally 8 months later. I sued him, and we got $5,000 or something. But obstructing the sidewalk is something that homeless people generally don't do. They're concerned about finding a place to sit down. Instead, what really happens is police come along and tell people, move along, you're not supposed to be here, or they just write them a ticket, one of the two. And this creates a kind of anger, hostility, or else bad feeling of one sort or another, depression. And we've gotten some concerns recently about, you know, there's one guy who's accused of burning down the city attorney's door, setting a fire to the city attorney's door. Mm-hmm. Other people, you see things in the paper about people throwing rocks through windows. I don't know if these things are necessarily connected with these bad laws. Mm-hmm. And it may be sort of opportunistic of me to suggest that they necessarily are. Mm-hmm. But I know these laws create resentment. I've seen it. I've heard it in the many interviews I do on the show. And so here's, again, let's look at the, another example of a community that's taking a somewhat different approach. They have their, you know, they do have two laws.
Where is this?
This is in Burlington, Vermont.
Oh, okay.
They have laws about unnecessary interference and obstructing city sidewalks, which the city here does too. Not, I don't know about unnecessary interference, but there is a law against obstructing the sidewalk, which means if you're blocking the way and someone asks you to move, you have to move. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you can be ticketed for sitting there.
Right.
Per se, it means you have to move to another slightly better place or move out of the way if someone's trying to get through and can't get around you, which is reasonable, but not anything like what the mayor claims is happening or what the police are doing. The new effort stems, this is in Burlington, from the rejection of a more strict ordinance that would have banned people from sitting or lying down on select downtown sidewalks. In other words, they rejected the solution that Santa Cruz has been trying to impose.
Mm-hmm.
They rejected this sitting ban, the sit-lie law, that San Francisco is refusing to pass.
The
Board
San
of Supervisors voted it down. They said no.
So people can't sit
can
on the sidewalks.
Sit. They can.
Yeah.
They have been able to sit there. And because, you know, it's such a clearly vague, I mean, the ordinance, you know, bans a whole lot of innocent behavior. That's the problem with a lot of these Santa Cruz laws as far as we're concerned.
Well, it's in one of the differences I noticed in L.A. and Santa Barbara is both locations had at least one place where homeless people could be all day long if they needed to be, that had bathroom facilities, and they could also eat at these places. They didn't necessarily have a bed for everybody at these places, but you were allowed to come in and sit in a protected area.
Were you allowed to sleep there at night on the ground or not?
No, but they did make provisions for people that had just shown up for cots, as many as they could. But I got rejected one night. I showed up too late. They told me if I got there, I would, if I, because I was
Santa
female,
or
I
LA?
Would definitely be let in at, on Skid Row there.
In L.A.?
In L.A. It was...
But
when I showed up at 9 o'clock at night, I went to four different shelters and nobody could take me. So...
But also, L.A., as I understand it, you said you, unlike what Mayor Rodkin seemed to be saying to us at the debate we had this Sunday, L.A. does allow you to sleep on the sidewalk at night. It doesn't give
evidently,
citation.
Evidently. I didn't know the rules, but I did see plenty of people sleeping on the sidewalks.
Right. And so you know, this kind of, I mean, I resent these bad laws in Santa Cruz. But what I resent equally, and what I find equally frustrating and angering, is the, I have to say, lies of politicians like Mayor Rodkin, like Vice Mayor Coonerty, like other council members, who claim that Santa Cruz is... There are no cities in the United States that allow people to sleep on their streets. Rodkin's fudging a little bit now on this and saying there are a few cities that allow this. But the issue, of course, is why don't we allow this? And his answer is because we'd have all these homeless people coming to town to sleep on our wonderful sidewalks. What's your answer? You think that is true? I don't know. What's your impression?
Well, people need to sleep someplace. You know, if they don't want people sleeping on the sidewalks, I suggest that there be an area that people can go to that has porta potties that they can sleep.
Well, tonight is going to be Peace Camp 2010 at the courthouse, and I invite people to go down there. I'll be there. We're just about out of time, and I may be there too, at least for a while. And I want to thank you, Catherine A.
Catherine Aldis.
Aldis, if you will, for coming into the studio. And I'm looking forward to hearing from you and seeing you again and perhaps even hugging you again.
Yes.
On Sunday, here's a phone call when we have another show at 9:30 in the morning. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Oh, it's
hey,
Drum Guy.
Hey, Santa Cruz.
Hey there, Drum Circle Dave.
Hey, look, man, there's laws that protect big money.
You have a minute, Dave.
No laws that protect no money here in Santa Cruz. If you don't have any money, you are not protected in Santa Cruz. And that is a crime. Laws protect big money. They do not protect no money.
How'd the drum circle go yesterday, Dave?
Went really good. Missed you, Rob. Just had a blast. Cops showed up, kept driving by, and then I'm sure finally they sacked everybody to get out of there, but...
Did you actually, were you there when the police arrived at the end or not?
No, I wasn't there at the end. No, I was making my way away as, you know, more and more police danger appeared.
Did you actually hear reports that police told people to leave, or did you just, you think they did?
No, I just think the presence of them, people were like, nah, we're not going to, you know, we're not going to deal with these ignoramuses.
The blue-bellied, gun-toting,
yeah, I mean, they just, you know, it's big money, man. It's protecting big money. That's all it is. It's big money protecting
money,
and
Dave,
it's
someday,
snake. It just
someday,
keeps going.
Dave, wait, Dave,
you know, it's a black and white snake, and it's wrapped around
Dave,
that building
hold it,
down there.
Now, Dave,
all,
Dave,
huh?
Someday you too could be one of these big money people.
Well, that's true.
American,
but you know what?
Boy.
I will donate, man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I will make sure my buck doesn't stop at the banks, well, like the banks made sure their bucks got stopped, and they got more bucks later.
And we'll continue to get more bucks.
And we'll continue. And, hey, BP is like just big poison. Big,
oh, don't get oily with me, Dave. That's all I got time for. I got to go on you, Dave. Got to run. Thank you.
Pete. Hey, Rob. Have a good time at the Peace Camp. And, hey, take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye. And that was Drum Circle Dave. It looks like it's 8 o'clock. Maybe you should open the door so old Uncle Dennis, who comes kind of hobbling in usually around this time, can make his way into the studio. I want to thank everybody who's been listening for listening, and for all of you who didn't call in, shame on you. Come on now. You got phones. You got voices. You have independent opinions. Or certainly, you know, you can growl if nothing else. Think about calling in on Sunday at 9:30. Think about coming down to Peace Camp 2010 to check things out. Go to Wes Mode's trial tomorrow at 1:30 in Department 2.
I started writing a song about Peace Camp.
All right.
Want to hear the beginning?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, my heart belongs to Peace Camp, because Peace Camp stands for peace. And my heart belongs to Peace Camp, because Peace Camp gives me peaceful sleep.
That's good.
That's just the beginning, you know.
I like that.
The melody keeps changing every time I do it.
Yeah, that's good. Well, I think we're going to do now is roll. Well, I could read a little bit more of this this story that I. Again, it shows the contrast between a small city in Vermont, Burlington, Vermont. I'm not sure, maybe a smaller city than Santa Cruz, quite probably, but kind of probably a similar kind of mentality. Vermont is a more liberal climate. It has a progressive reputation and so forth. But I'm afraid this was going to have to wait for another time because the beer man has just arrived with the brew of the week and his usual selection of archaic tunes from the 60s and 70s. Actually, those are some of the few tunes I actually recognize, so I should be grateful. But he's also got some Earth First updates. Would that be fair to say?
Yes.
And I guess the
last Earth First updates for almost a month.
Really? Oh, you're going to be taking off for a month? Then?
You don't read your email, do you, Robert?
Certainly not. Not if it comes from you. I make a point of quarantining it. You've got to be careful.
Oh, I got a road trip coming up. So.
Oh, that's good.
This is the last you'll see of me for
Sunday. Until Sunday. Oh, yes. You have a meeting on Sunday, which I don't know. I may send this teddy bear in my place, Skid Row. The local bear.
Row, Skid Row.
Mr. Row. That's Row.
Is that Salmon Row?
Well, I think it's a different row, actually. But that's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. Well, Dennis selects a tune of his own choosing, again, from the ancient, oh, we were hippies back then, wasn't it wonderful, days of the 60s and 70s. But let's all be nostalgic as we, relax in our retirement homes. Well, actually, enjoy the music, and thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides.
Father.